We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the
day. Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad for us this morning. And our guest today is Mr. Les German. How are you doing this morning, sir?
I am, blessed and highly favored.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts. And I'm not even going to lie and say we will get it posted shortly after the program was ended. Miss Tina will do that for us. She's so awesome, y'all. Our sponsor for today is Grants Auction and Realty. They don't charge you more. They make you more by itemizing and cataloging all your items. If you would like to be on the wheel for the blessing book for this month, all you have to do is like, share, and comment. Done. The book for this month is Hard Sayings, Reconciling the Cost of Discipleship and the American Dream by Joshua West. I think I covered it all. I got the smile. I got the smile and think so from Miss Tina. Would you be so kind and pray before we start?
Yes, Lord, we just thank you. First of all, Lord, we thank you for life. We thank you for this beautiful morning, Father. We just, I thank you for the commitment of these two ladies, Father, every day to present this hour of power. Lord, we just know that your word is powerful, Father. It's, we just bless our families too, Father, as we go through this hour, Father, praising you and teaching and whatever else you have us to do, Lord. We just ask you protect our families. We pray and release blessings of peace in their home, provision, protection. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. I like your title. Don't worry about tomorrow. God is already there.
Yeah,
that's good.
That's not my original. I read that somewhere and it just stuck when I was praying about this morning. And so I guess a lot of the people are watching YouTube videos or watching things going on in the world. What is it, TikTok videos or whatever, too, showing all the military out there in different cities. One guy said there's like 28 cities that the military is, there's tanks driving down the streets, okay? So to some people, that's really scary. I don't know. I don't pretend to know what's going on. I've got some friends and contacts, but they don't even know. So it could be a military training exercise. I just don't know. But I do know it creates fear in the hearts of people when they see that, because that's so unusual. Helicopters flying over different planes that they've never seen before flying over their cities. So they're going, oh, my gosh, what's going on? So I know. I just want to encourage people, you know, Jesus said, and I've never counted them, but I am under the understanding of the belief that Jesus said, fear not, 365 times in the Bible. How many days in the year? 365. Fear not, fear not, fear not. Is that easy? No. What does F-E-A-R stand for? False evidence appearing real. I like that, you know. So, and this is cliche, I know, but cliches, they're true. That's why they're cliches. But anyway, God's got this, and we just need to rest in him. And know this, people, we're never alone. We are never alone. The enemy wants us to believe that we're separate. That's what he tries to do. He tries to separate us. But we're never alone, and God always keeps his promises. Always keeps his promises. He cannot break his own rules. The Lord told me that one time. He said, kind of a side note, but he said, Les, he said, by your actions and your words, you tie my own hands. I went, what? You're God. He goes, I know, but I can't break my own rules. I thought that was pretty good. So it's like, all right, Les, line up. And stop agreeing with the enemy. Because when we agree with the enemy, we empower him. We open the door further for him to come in and attack us and to mess with us. So what, and it's simple, I guess, but it helps me. So if I just want to encourage people to stop the negative self-talk, okay? Because that's agreeing with the enemy. Yeah. When we, that little voice in our head saying, you're this, you're that, you're this or that, and it's negative and it's condescending, it's condemning, and if it's in your face, harsh, it's not God. God is peaceful. He brings in peace, and his Holy Spirit is a gentleman. And he lightly, softly corrects us. That's why, you know, the word talks about him having a still, small voice. So I encourage people to spend time with the Lord to get to know that still, small voice. Well, when it's condemning, in my little brain, I just think I hear a door slam. Actually, I'm an ex-cop, ex-detective, so I hear a jail door slam. And there's not a sound on the planet that mimics the jail doors. Metal against metal, it just rings. And there's something final about that sound. I've seen guys just cry like a baby when they're in the cell and that door slams. So in my mind, I hear that noise. I hear that door slam, and I simply tell myself, no, I don't receive it. I don't receive it. That's not what God calls me. So, Satan, you're dismissed. Satan, you want to remind me of my past? Let me remind you of your future. Mm-hmm. How stupid are you getting kicked out of heaven? Now get out here and leave me alone in Jesus' name. That empowers me. When the enemy tries to bring up my past, I know what's under the blood. My slate's clean because of Jesus' blood that he shed on the cross. So my slate is clean. So nice try, Satan. Now get out of here and leave me alone. Boy, that really helped me years ago when God kind of showed me Luke 10:19. I've said this every time I'm here, but Luke 10:19, Jesus told his disciples, I give you guys all power, because we're his disciples. He gives us all power over the enemy. And it's just, we got to appropriate, we've got to seize the day, kind of, so to speak. And I got a ton of scriptures here, but we'll see how far I go. But I like Proverbs. I love Proverbs. I used to read Proverbs to my kids in the morning when they were eating breakfast. I guess some of it stuck because they're all doing good. So thank you, Lord. Proverbs 27:1. Never brag about the day to come because you don't know what it might bring. About the time we think this is going to happen, something else happens. And it throws us off track because we want to stay in control. A lot of people want to stay in control, and I get it. We need to, I'll talk about that. But we need to plan. I get it. But those that are trying to control everything end up in a bad way. I don't know how else to say it. Because we can't control everything. And some of the things that happen are totally out of our control. And it's how we handle those things will determine our outcome and our peace of mind or lack of. So, but I like that. You don't know what tomorrow might bring. Matthew 6:25. Jesus is actually saying this. That's why I'm telling you to stop worrying about your life. What you'll eat, what you'll drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Life is more than food, isn't it? And the body more than clothing. 26 says, look at the birds in the sky. They don't plant, they don't harvest, or gather food into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. You are not alone. Are you not more valuable than they are? Verse 27, can any of you add a single hour to the length of your life by worrying? 28, and why do you worry about clothes? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or spin yarn. 29 says, but I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was clothed like one of them. 30, now if that is the way God clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today, thrown into an oven tomorrow, won't he clothe you much better? You who have little faith. So don't ever worry about saying what we're going to eat or what we're going to drink or what we're going to wear, because it is the Gentiles who are eager for all those things. Surely your Heavenly Father knows what you need. But first be concerned. This is verse 633. But first be concerned about God's kingdom and about his righteousness. And all of these things will be provided for you as well. 34 says, so never worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Man, isn't that the truth? We get hit with all kinds of stuff we had never planned on. But that's why we have to run to our Father, our Heavenly Daddy. So I guess I want to encourage, and this is for me too, be concerned with what God is doing right now. Stop worrying. Know that God is going to help you deal with whatever it is you want to spend time worrying about. Does that make sense? He wants to help you with what you're worrying about. He wants to help you stop worrying, because I think people get in the ditch so fast because I read somewhere that 80% of what we worry about never happens. So I had a guy say, oh, so it works. No. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Instead of spending our thought life on worrying about things that we have no control of or don't have any influence in the outcome, instead of spending our thought life worrying about that stuff, because it'll physically hurt you, harm you. It'll raise the blood pressure. It just messes with us in more ways than one. Instead, focus your thought life on the Lord, because he's got this. He'll never leave us or forsake us. So we're never alone. We got to get that, especially in the days to come. Who knows what's going to happen in a month, 2 months, 6 months? Our whole world could be changed, absolutely. But God has never changed. Same today, tomorrow. You know, you've heard it all. So I encourage you to stop worrying. Give it to God. And I'll say this. Go ahead and prepare. I mean, we're not stupid. God has given us a brain, but go ahead and prepare whatever you think. But first, pray about what you're facing. Bring it to the Lord and release it to him. Whatever that preparation requires, get items needed, make contact with people you might need, etc. But don't waste your thought life on wringing your hands in despair and eventually enter into depression. That's the enemy's plan. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not God's plan. So that spirit of depression can jump in your back pocket and you don't even know he's there. So, also, Satan is big on, I just mentioned a while ago, trying to bring up our past. So, let me just say this. Your past does not define your future. Let me repeat that. Your past does not define your future.
You know, that's something. Whenever I first came back to Christ and started going to church, Pastors Dwight and Sharon Shepherd, that's the motto of our church. It's, my future is not determined by my past,
right,
but by how I respond to God today. And every day that I wake up is today. So I have to wake up and respond to God's love every day. And, you know, it took me a long time to understand the love of God. And it took me a long time to receive it as mine.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought I had such a twisted idea about God, Les, that, you know, as a little girl growing up, I thought that I had this image, wrong image of God, that he was this mighty Zeus-looking guy on a big, beautiful throne with lightning bolts and a white robe, you know, I mean, that's how I seriously thought. That's how I imagined God, you know, and he just had these lightning bolts with my name on them.
Getting ready to
waiting
launch,
on
launch
just watching and waiting on Monica to mess up so he could, you know.
I know, I hear you.
And it took me a long time to really grab hold of the true nature of God. And he told me when I came back, when I made the decision to turn away from everything and turn back to him, he told me to start reading the New Testament,
mm-hmm,
and to get to know the one he sent.
Right.
And then to read the Old Testament. And then that will help me get to know his true character.
Mm-hmm.
And when I received that Rhema word from God, a word from God, and I took it and I agreed with it and decided to do it, it just changed my whole life. Yes, sir. I had an issue understanding the King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
I had an issue understanding that version. But my son and my sweet daughter-in-law got me an NIV, and I was convinced that I wasn't going to understand anything already.
No.
I convinced myself that I wasn't going to understand. But when I received that word, the instruction, and I received it and grabbed a hold of it and I started to do it, apply it,
mm-hmm,
I began to do it, it was just like things like started opening up like a flower, you know, it was just incredible. It was incredible.
Thank you, Lord.
And now I've read my NIV 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm on my pastor's daughter. They got me a Passions translation.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm on that one for the second time.
That's cool.
And it's just like, it's like a flower blooming to me now. And it's like, oh.
And every time you read it, there's more revelation.
Yes, and it's
deeper revelation.
It's like a flower that just keeps blooming, and it's never going to stop.
It's the living word. Yep,
yeah,
that's right. That's way cool. Thank you, Lord. Let me add one more caveat to this thing. Don't, your past does not define your future. So other people's past, we should not hold against them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll see somebody walk, oh, well, that guy was in jail last year for stealing. Da-da-da-da-da. I'm sorry, he's a Christian now. He's forgiven. Mm-hmm. So Jesus has cleaned his slate. You need to see him as a clean slate. Because what you're doing, you're working for the enemy's camp. If you judge or you condemn him or shun him, not accept him, whatever, if you're negative towards him, you are advancing the enemy's agenda, his kingdom. And so I just I warn people, man, don't do that, because he's son of the Most High God or daughter of the Most High God. They're brother and sisters in Christ, for crying out loud. Mm-hmm. Their past doesn't matter. Jesus took those sins. And the Bible says the sins are as far as from the east, from the west. So why can't we operate and walk in that too? But, oh, no, we got to judge. And, yeah, I won't go there. But
I became one of those critical.
Well.
I became one of those critical Christians. Y'all, I'm not even going to lie.
Well, you know, I was for a long time. Can I tell you about that? As a police officer, it's called profiling.
No, I don't like that word.
It's called profiling. But, in a way, you kind of have to do that, I guess, for your own protection as you know, police officer. But anyway, but it's judging. Mm-hmm. And when I, you know, I don't know, I get off track, but it's amazing to me some people want to hold the past. You know, like they're still that same person. Well, come on. We're supposed to be new creation, new creature in Christ. You know what I'm saying? So help them instead of hurting them. I woke up this morning, almost every morning, I won't say 100%, but probably 99%, I start my day, but Lord, let my words heal and not hurt. And Lord, help me see people through your eyes and not mine. And I'll tell you something, when that happens, When I declare that, I speak it out. My ears need to hear those words. I'm just saying. But when I declare that, then during the day, when I'm walking through the day and things, people, whatever, I see people or events or whatever, I just, the Holy Spirit reminds me. Oh, yeah. Lord, I bless them. Instead of condemning them or getting in their face and, you know, I got to bless them. And I'll be honest, sometimes I bless people through clenched teeth, but I still bless them, you know. I'm just saying. I'm going, oh, Lord, they're your problem.
Only you can fix that, Lord.
I know, but that's what he wants. He doesn't want us to engage or advance the enemy's kingdom. Come on, we're to advance God's kingdom. Corrie ten Boom, she was, I think she was born 1890-something, but she was a Dutch clockmaker. She was a Christian writer and author. And she says this. She said, also, your past does not define your future. Instead of living in the shadows of yesterday, walk in the light of today and the hope of tomorrow. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows. It empties today of its strength. Mm-hmm. I went, oh, my gosh, that is good. So worry doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrows. It empties today of its strength. I thought, man, that is so powerful. So remember this, people. We do not have a promise of tomorrow, but a promise of eternity in glory. Eternity and glory with our Jesus. And there's days that I say, come on, Lord. Come on. I mean, right now. Come. I'm ready. But anyway, there's a guy, and I don't know who this guy is, but I love the quote. David Jeremiah said, we don't know what will happen tomorrow, but one thing is guaranteed. God cares for his children. We can be sure of that. In a world where nothing is sure, God is sure. I like that. So we just need to depend on the Lord. And I'm not saying it's easy, but we just have to get there because, well, we just need to. Spend time in prayer. Spend time and just ask the Lord, what do you say about me? If there's negative self-talk bouncing around in my two brain cells, I close the door to it. I hear that door slam. I said, no, I'm not going to receive that. That's not what my God says about me. And then I stop and say, Lord, then what do you say about this situation? Or what do you say about me? And I just shut my brain off and just let him talk to me. And he will, people, he will talk to you. He has never stopped talking. And I get a little angry and perturbed at people. Well, God doesn't talk anymore today, you know. I said, what? He's never stopped talking. Come on. So Anyway, George Mueller, an old evangelist back in the day, said the Christian should never worry about tomorrow or give sparingly because of a possible future need. Only the present moment is ours to serve the Lord, and tomorrow may never come. Life is worth as much as it is spent for the Lord's service. Our life, the Christian life that I'm trying to lead and trying to bless people, trying to help people, that is my, what's the word? It's I think it's a reward to Jesus, but it is my payback to him. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Because I'm going to spend an eternity, people, with my Lord and Savior. And I don't want to just hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want a high five.
Come on.
I want some skin, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, that's just me. Joyce Meyer says this, you don't need to know what tomorrow holds. All you need to know is the one who holds tomorrow. Amen. Isn't that good? James 4:13 says, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go do such and such. Stay here a year, conduct business, make money. Verse 14 says, you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? You are a mist. Some translations say our lives are a vapor that appears for a little while, then vanishes. Verse 15 says, instead you should say, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. If the Lord wants us, if the Lord willing. 16 says, but if you boast about your proud intentions, all such boasting is evil. Verse 17, therefore, anyone who knows what is right but fails to do it is guilty of sin. Okay, I'm not some spiritual guru. I'm not saying that at all. I was at a restaurant on Friday night, went to the city, and I saw this young couple with two small boys, and they were sitting in the corner of this restaurant, and there was a fish aquarium that was behind them. And this father, as soon as they sat down, of course, their son, the oldest son, was probably, I don't know, probably four. They had a younger son. But anyway, this older son was standing up looking at the fish swimming right just inches from his face. He was mesmerized. Well, his daddy got up on his knees. It was kind of a bench seat. And I'll bet you for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, long time, was pointing out, was instructing his son, talking about his son, and you could just tell his son was all excited and all that stuff. And as I'm eating, I saw that their food was delivered to them, and they prayed. Now, God told me, he said, that couple, that those parents need encouragement. So when I finished eating, paid my bill, I walked over to them, and you know, that's kind of uncomfortable, I'll be honest with you. I don't know what to say, and God said, I don't want you to say nothing. I want to speak through you. Okay, Lord. So I really didn't know what exactly I was going to say, but I walked up to him, and I just told him, I said, I'm sorry, I don't want to interrupt, but I think God's got a message for you. Excuse me. And I said, God is telling me that you guys are great parents, and I just want to encourage you to keep it up. And I pointed to the guy, and I said, I told him, I said, and God said, you are a fantastic protector. So I just want to encourage you guys, and you're going to, you know, I don't remember everything I said. You're going to raise two kingdom advancers or whatever, but I just said, I just want to bless you and let you know that God is pleased. And the biggest smiles come across their face, and I left. That was it. Just a little word. But isn't that what we're supposed to do? Encourage one another. But when I saw that daddy instructing his, I mean, for a long time, it just thrilled me. And then to watch him pray, close their eyes and pray before, I thought, Lord, that's encouraging to me to watch people do that. Because a lot of times you don't see that in public, you know. But anyway, so Oh gosh, there's so many things. Jesus so I get this sometimes. Excuse me, man, I get people saying, well, I'm too busy. I hit the ground running. Yeah, everybody does. It's not that you're too busy. It's just that you're not taking time. You can take God. I don't think God cares. I might be wrong, but I don't think God cares if we spend 10 minutes or an hour. The fact that we acknowledge him at the beginning of our day, Lord, let my will coincide and work with your will. You know, help my words heal and not hurt. Help me see people through your eyes, not mine. When we do that, just a little bit, I think we acknowledge, and we set the course for our day. But people say, "Oh, I'm too busy." Well, then schedule an appointment with the Lord. Okay. People, "Oh, I got appointments." Yeah, okay. Schedule. Put it in your calendar, whatever, your day book, whatever. But God wants to communicate with us. And how stupid are we not to want to hear from the creator of the universe? Hello, that has all the answers, all the time. To me, it just blows my mind. But, oh, yeah, God, I got this. Yeah, right. How well is that working out for you? So let me just say something else, too, real quick. Some people suffer from a spirit of perfectionism. Have to have everything right to the last minute. And in that, you want to control every situation, control everybody. And I know people that are planners. If they're on a trip, you have lunch. You're walking from the restaurant to the car, and now they're asking you, well, where are we going to eat supper? Where's dinner? What? I don't know. I mean, isn't that something? And they almost have to have a detailed itinerary of your trip. We're going to stop for gas at this at such and such time. It's just crazy. Maybe I'm all wrong, but I kind of fly by the seat of my pants sometimes. But a planner, a lot of times, people that suffer from this perfectionism, they want to fix everything and fix everybody. And so I just encourage people that and you know who you are. There's no secret. But just pray and let go. And I guess I was kind of that way. I still got to catch myself sometimes. I'll send an email to the company and I'll read it, reread it, reread it. Because a lot of times, or a text or whatever. As a detective, I had to work the case. I had to refer to my notes because 6-8 months later, I'm on the witness stand. So I had to pay attention to details, if that makes sense. And I get it. But let go and let God. And that's, I know, another cliche. But give it to the Lord. I mean totally. Really give it to the Lord. So just say, Lord, I just want to encourage, just say it something simple. Lord, this, whatever it is, situation, this person, this event, whatever that I'm facing, Lord, it's your problem. I trust you to give me what I need at the time I need it. God, I can trust you today. But some people might, oh, but yeah, I can trust you today, but oh no, what about tomorrow? Come on. Tomorrow's going to be the same way. Lord, I give it to you. It's your problem. Do not be self-defeating. Because if we do, I really believe we're inviting Satan into this mix. And I just don't want that. And I just know that Satan never misses an opportunity. I did not wake up this morning, nor did you women. We didn't wake up this morning and Satan goes, we'll leave him alone. No. He's out to kill, steal, and destroy. It's what the word says in John 10:10. So,
amen. Would now be a good time to take